I pretty good for bad goodbyes. I got some girls off of my mind, but baby, not tonight. Cause I've been putting in overtime, trying to get over your leaving. You're still right here on my mind. You should take
in the Detroit suburb of Rochester Hills say the man suspected of opening fire at a splash pad was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. An 8-year-old boy was shot in the head and is in critical condition. His mother also listed in critical condition. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard said the motive for the shooting is unknown.
There appears to be no connection between the victims and the location whatsoever. The person doesn't live in Rochester Hills. He went to a Rochester Hills park.
Two people were killed after a shooting that followed an altercation at a Juneteenth celebration near Austin, Texas. Police there looking for suspects. Southern California feeling the impacts of a wildfire that broke out in Los Angeles County Saturday. At least 1,200 people were evacuated. There are red flag fire warnings today in other western areas, including Utah and Arizona. 55 million people in the U.S. under heat alerts for today or the week ahead. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. As election administrators seek clarity heading into November, they at least have one big question answered. There will not be mobile absentee voting in Wisconsin. Here's Mike Moen.
Local election administrators have new guidance from Wisconsin's highest court on alternative early voting sites. The Wisconsin Supreme Court issued a ruling this week that bans the use of mobile voting sites. That outcome is seen as a victory for conservatives challenging such options. But separately, the court kept in place rules that allow clerks to choose other alternative sites for absentee voting. University of Wisconsin political science professor Barry Burton says that means these officials will still have flexibility as they sort out logistics.
They face a lot of difficulties trying to find sites that are available. You know, they're often repurposing a church or a school or a community building.
Meanwhile, Burden and other political observers still expect the Wisconsin Supreme Court to issue a ruling soon about the banning of ballot drop boxes.
The Supreme Court has considered a new case that would allow them again, and there is a new liberal majority that seems more inclined to permit those again as they were used in 2020.
And after the 2020 election, Wisconsin was one of the states embroiled in the fake elector scheme tied to supporters of former President Donald Trump. Even though Trump is the presumptive GOP nominee in this year's race, Burton doesn't predict the exact same fallout. He notes there are new guardrails, including updates to the Federal Electoral Count Act. But he acknowledges there still could be lawsuits and protests in Wisconsin. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Community reminder from Civic Media.
The Lord's Cupboard Food Pantry is open every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at First Congregational Church in downtown Park Falls. Check out their Facebook page for updates and income guidelines. Want to volunteer? Stop down Saturday to inquire. That's every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at First Congregational Church in downtown Park Falls. The Lord's Cupboard, serving those in need in Price County and surrounding areas for over 15 years.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country. State championships are over. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Girls high school soccer state championships at Eline Park in Milwaukee. Division 3 Plymouth beat Catholic Memorial 2-1. Division 2 Oregon shut out Whitefish Bay 1-0. And for the third year in a row, Muskego won the state title by beating Kimberly 2-1 in Division 1. Baseball, Brewers and the Reds wrapping up their series. A full recap later tonight. Last night, the Crew won 3-1 thanks to a Joey Ortiz 3-run homer in the 5th, manager Pat Murphy.
That big moment for him as a young player gives everybody a lift. I mean, I think it's safe to say, guys, we're not playing as that scrappy underdog team.
And rapper Snoop Dogg, with a concert in Milwaukee, stopped by the press box to do some play-by-play on Valley Sports Wisconsin.
Sanchez on the 1-2. What I told you, get it in there. Oh, he in there. That's Sanchez. That's yes, I told you, baby. We call that an easy walk in the park. That's the base hit. Give him a single. He does like to mingle. And my favorite jingle is the S to the N, double O, no, no.
That's Snoop Dogg with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Boston, La Crosse, Westby, and Fitchburg, profhearingcare.com. By the Castle Rock Peatonwell Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, castlerock-peatonwell.com. And by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, woodsideranch.com. I'm Dan Small. Today, a Ducks Unlimited update, Purple Martin Fest, and fishing Juneau County. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Joining me finally from Wisconsin Rapids is Jeff Kelm. Well, Jeff, gosh, you've been on the road how many weeks in a row with tournaments?
Six.
Man.
Been enough, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you got a week off now. I suppose you're catching up and doing gardening and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to catch up on in between, and just really just some downtime to relax, Dan. I mean, that's, you know, I come home for a few days in the week, and you try to cram as many things as you can there, but there's really not any time to just kind of kick back. And my wife's a school teacher. She's done with school for the year, so we get a chance to kind of just hang out and enjoy each other's company. And you know, the kids are on summer break, and so we're enjoying this week off.
Well, that's great. And Robert, I understand, is in BMX mode now.
He is, yep, racing BMX. This weekend, we've got some races up in Antigo. We've got, see if we can continue our season here at Central Wisconsin BMX. And it's been tough. A lot of rain. You know, everybody's dealing with the same thing. Obviously, a lot more larger implications for people whose careers depend on weather. But, we just haven't had many races this year for him to get out. But the one race he's raced so far, he won it. So hopefully that's a good sign of things to come through the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good luck to him. And I understand you are chasing bees now.
Yeah, a lot of bees, a lot of swarms. And I kind of predicted that was going to happen just because of the very easy winter for bees in general. And that's exactly what's happened. We've got swarm after swarm after swarm. We went from 2 colonies to 6 colonies right now. And probably have the potential for 2 more here in the next week or so, and possibly more by the end of the month of June.
Now, what do you do when you locate a swarm?
Yeah, it depends on where the swarm is, Dan. We have a lot of swarm traps up. We have 11 swarm traps up all over Wood County, and we're actually working with the state of Wisconsin trapping some on state land. And we bring those traps back, and we remove those bees from the trap, put them into a standard hive, which you would typically see in an apiary. I got a call for just a cluster, a swarm cluster that was balled up in a tree, and we collected that as well earlier in the year, and brought that back home as well. And so they're actually creating a queen right now, just about done with that process, but they were queenless when I found them, and we were fortunately able to get them some materials to make a queen, and they should be successful by the end of the year, making sure they're ready to go for winter.
That was the one up by Oshkosh, was it?
That one was by Plover, Plover-Stevens Point area. Yep. Okay. Yep.
Now, we don't have time to go into a lot of detail about how they make a queen, but do they stay put once you give them a new home?
Yes, they'll stay put once you give them eggs and larvae and they have something to take care of. If you don't, it's possible that they just leave because they don't recognize it as home. But the eggs and larvae, the stuff on those frames, the pheromones are so powerful that they say, oh, you know what, we got to take care of this. And they realize that they're queenless. They'll make a queen out of the eggs. Or at least attempt to, and go from there. And so far, they've been successful with the process. It's just a matter of getting the queen mated, and that will be on her and her getting back without being eaten by a bird or hit by a windshield or something like that. And then she'll live out her rest of her life inside the hive.
A lot of hazards if you're a bee.
Yeah. If you're an insect, it's not an easy world out there.
Absolutely. And you get a fair amount of honey then from your hives, right?
Yep. This year we plan on getting quite a bit. We had a really good early start, early jump. Our only process, the only thing that hinders us is the amount of days of rain we've had. Rain days really aren't great foraging days. They wash out a lot of nectar from flowers and things like that. So even though it keeps plants healthy and growing, there's trade-offs to everything, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of rain, we have had so much rain here in the Southwest. Not as much as what I saw in the eastern part of the state when I drove over to fish out of Lake Michigan last week. Every cornfield that had a low spot was full of water. I mean, you could see the contours of the land just by looking at the water.
Yeah, a lot of rain everywhere. I don't know that we've ran a tournament yet this year that we didn't have rain on one of the days of the event.
Yeah. And we've been mowing pasture to keep ahead of the sheep because it's grown so fast that we can't move them fast enough.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah. And, of course, never a dull moment on the farm. A chipmunk got into our greenhouse and ate Deadeye's sprouted squash seeds that she was getting ready to plant. And last I heard, he was still under a step that we couldn't get at, so we're looking for Toby the cat to see if we can't at least shag him out of there, if not catch him. Well, folks, Elizabeth Kramer is hosting farm yoga at her farm in Sheboygan County on June 21st, featuring the 4 goats I delivered to her last week. Check out Elizabeth Kramer Wellness on Facebook for details. Coming up, guest host Rob Dreeslein, host of Outdoor News Radio, gets a Ducks Unlimited update with Dr. Karen Waldrop and Dr. Mike Brazier of DU. Bob Ring, a board member of the Wisconsin Purple Martin Association, invites us to Martinfest 2024, coming up in just 2 weeks. And guide Jesse Qualley reports a good walleye bite on both Castle Rock and Peatonwell flowages. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Castle Rock and Peatonwell are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-Peatonwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Peatonwell Lakes Association.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads. Classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, the Range. WI.com.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to Alkaline and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Did you know 98Q Country now posts some of their best content online for you to listen anytime? Wow. It's just at 98QCountry.com. Go to the top of the page. Here, I'll do it with you. 98QCountry.com. Yes, the numbers, 98, and the letter Q, country, dot, that's the period button down there, com, C-O-M. Then just hit enter. There you go.
Oh.
Now when you're at 98QCountry.com, simply click podcasts at the top of the page. No, not the logo. You're already on the website. Click 98Q Podcast. It's in the top right corner. You click it once. Boy, I thought this was going to be easy. There you go. Some of our most recent and most valuable content is there, like Joel's reality radio segments.
Uh-huh.
You can even check on old shopping show segments to see what kind of deals you can take advantage of.
Uh-huh.
Even some of Gray's content in the afternoon show.
Ooh.
It's the 98Q Podcast section of 98QCountry.com. 98Q Country content available on demand.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, the Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Rock Fest, Summer Fest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great-tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Castle Rock and Pete and Well Flowages in Juneau County offer four seasons of outdoor recreation. Those are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. And in the county, there are also many miles of river, hiking and biking trails, and lots more you can do outside. For more information, you can visit castlerock-petenwell.com. And joining us now is a familiar voice on our show, Jesse Qualley. He's the owner of Greenwater Walleyes Guide Service, and his website is greenwaterwalleyes.com. Jesse, thanks for joining us, and welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
How's it going, Dan?
I'm doing okay. I understand you've been doing a lot of fishing since turkey season ended.
Yep, one thing to the next. We've been in and out of the rain and the storms, but yeah, we've been catching fish.
Have you been fishing both lakes or the river? What have you been doing?
We have been fishing a lot on both lakes. Today, a mother and her two sons came out, and we jigged on Castle Rock and did pretty good for walleyes. Got a lot of sheephead. The guys took home a nice bunch of keepers and some smallmouth that we released. But mainly, we've been up on Pete and Well. We've been getting a few fish trolling, but a lot of the fish have been jigging. And with the water temperature being cold, you know, it's kind of a slow live bait. You get different windows each day where they feed and then they shut down for a while. And then they'll feed and they'll shut down. But then last couple days when it's been a little bit warmer, though, it seems like the afternoon picks up and the bite's been pretty decent on both lakes.
Okay. Now, a lot of people troll. You mentioned that as well. Is that how you find them and then jig for them, or what do you do?
No, we just try to, you know, years the areas where they're at. You know, usually by Memorial Day weekend, they're all starting to set up on the main lakes, you know, on points and humps and flats. This year was a little bit different. We're, what, 2 weeks after Memorial Day, and they're finally just starting to set up out on the main lake points where you can target them, you know. You go with your electronics and fish edges of the channels. It seems like on both lakes, you have to be tight in the wood. You got a big bug hatch going on. If you're not tight in that wood, it seems like you're not catching fish. So evidently there's something in there that they're eating because these fish are all like footballs.
Uh-huh.
They're plump full of something. This is the big bug hatch that we normally get, you know, on Pete and Well. Some days they want chubs, some days they want crawlers. One day they want leeches, like today it was all on crawlers. But it seems like they want to be tight in that structure and they want to be right on the edge of the channel. You can get them on the edge of the channel in the summertime, but most of the time that's like early May stuff. So I think we're finally progressing now, you know, to where we're catching them on main lake points and stuff where they're setting up for the summer bite. And I did notice a lot today on Castle Rock is a lot of fish are starting to suspend. And when your fish suspend, you can catch them slip bobber fishing, jigging, but one of the easiest ways is just run crankbaits above them.
Uh-huh. And then they come up for them.
Yep. You want to be within a foot or 2 foot tops above them, you know. So let's say you're at 15 feet. You know, you want to run your baits, you know, up about 12 feet, let's say 13 feet. You never want to be below them because you'll definitely know you make a pass and you're down below them and you raise your baits up and it's bang, bang, bang. And it's a little bit everything. A lot of times if you're getting too many white bass, those walleyes are just right below the white bass. So sometimes you got to let a little bit more out or you got to, you know, vice versa, run them up a little higher.
Yeah, you've got to fine tune your approach, obviously.
Yeah, and every day is different lately, too. Feeding well, it's been a chub bite. You've been getting a lot of fish on big chubs early morning, and then bang, it's like a light switch. Afternoon is crawlers, and then it kind of peters it out. So then when you do that, you just go trolling and you search for them, and that way you can get a mixed bag of everything. We're going to get crappies, perch, white bass, walleyes, you name it, pretty much.
Uh-huh. The white bass school up. Are the walleyes schooled or not so tight?
Yeah, they're starting to set up now to where you can see them on your electronics. You'll see, you know, a good pot of them, you know, it'd be 10 fish or, you know, 10 plus fish, let's say, where before you come up on a spot where there's a big chunk of wood, you only see a couple of fish there, you know, and they'd be scattered all over. Otherwise, there'd be a couple way down deep. Seems like the big flatfish are way down deep on the edge of the channel. The smaller fish are kind of up through the hump or up on the tip of the main lake point, you know, where they're scattered out all over where they, in the summertime, they'll set right up where it'd just be a big ball of fish, like right on a main lake point. It seems like the best bite is to be upwind and to cast from the deep up into the shallows. But lately, it's been vice versa now, where they've been down way, way deep, so we just kind of set up on the main lake point and just cast deep to them.
You mentioned wood a couple times. Now, these are flowages on the Wisconsin River. Is that wood mainly along the old river bed, the channel you referred to, or is it scattered?
Yeah, it's not like flooded timber like you would do a duck hunt or something like that. So you're right on the edge of the channel, or you're at, you know, the main lake point or humper, let's say. You see all kinds of wood down there. A lot of the wood is laying down, but there are still trees that are submerged. And a lot of that is in a deep, deep channel, you know. And there are some areas of the lake where you'll see stumps, but a lot of those are danger zones where you're not supposed to be. But for the most part, out on the main channel, there's a lot of wood, especially out from the Adams County, Pinehall County Park. Straight off the park, a couple hundred yards out, there's the main channel there, and there's just solid wood, and there's fish stacked in there. You just kind of pick them out and get the feeding windows and throw a little bit of everything at them.
Is there other structure? Now, this was flooded many years ago, so I would imagine there were roads or buildings in what is now the lakes, or not?
I live on the west shore, and I am probably about a half a mile from where the Bennett homes used to be, and that is right on Hall's Point. And then I know down on the south end where the other lake is, I think it's called Vancouver Lake, it's down just north on top of the Pinehall Dam there. There's a couple spots down there where there's supposedly when the water's real, real low that you can see the silos still, but I haven't personally seen that. But I've known people that I seen on Facebook a couple years ago, a guy pulled up a big chunk of wood and it had old barbed wire on it.
Okay, and I suppose that provides structure as well.
I don't think there's too many homes out there. I would say the majority of it is when the lake was flooded. You know, there's all the flooded timber, you know, and a lot of that timber is broken off throughout the years, but there's still a ton of timber in there. But you get the south end, down along in the dike, there's all rock, riprap. You got rock structure there you can catch them at. And then there's some other spots, not very many of them, where there's weeds, but there's more weeds on Castle Rock than there are on Pinehall. But there's a lot of those are up in the river and back cuts, stuff like that, sloughs and stuff. Not like most lakes that everybody's used to, Minock, where you got, you know, you're fishing weed walleye there, but no, we don't have that here. It's mainly just wood.
Uh-huh. Have you fished the river much at all?
Yes. I've been trying to stay away from the river because we've had all this rain and everything's just raging in the river, but I will tell you one thing, that's another good time to catch a lot of fish in the river when it's water is very fast and high like this. You get in any of those pockets where there's eddies of slack water where you can just pitch a half a crawler and an 1/8 ounce jig and just let it flow down in that, work it back through them eddies. There's a lot of fish stacked in them. You know, they're just feeding in and out and getting out of the current. You can pull into 5-6 spots, catch the mixed smorgasbord of everything, but lately the river's been just too fast, too dirty, and just a lot of trees and stuff floating down, but we're just staying out and fishing out on the lake. And then it's kind of like chocolate milk, too, where the lake is finally starting to clear up here if this rain had quit a little bit, you know, but it sounds like we're getting some heat coming, so that should help.
All right. Well, do you have openings in June, July, and August?
I got a couple openings left in July. And I think I have 2 openings left in June, and that's it. Otherwise, it's until August.
Wow. Well, that's great that you got business and you're catching fish.
Yep, that's always a good thing.
Well, Jesse, thanks so much for that report, and we'll touch base with you again before the end of the season.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Dan.
You're quite welcome. Jesse Qualley, owner of Greenwater Walleyes Guide Service. His website is greenwaterwalleyes.com. And this was brought to you by Castle Rock and Pietenwell Flowages. They're located between Juneau and Adams County. 4 seasons of outdoor recreation, 2 of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. And there's lots more to do in Juneau County as well. For more information, visit castlerock-pietenwell.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Listen to More Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere. From dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some chances for showers and thunderstorms across the area for your Father's Day. We'll see high temperatures warming to the middle and upper 80s. South winds on the breezy side. In the overnight, more showers and thunderstorms. Our lows will drop to the lower 60s. It's 60 at our studios.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Now here's guest host Rob Dreeslein with a conversation with two folks from Ducks Unlimited.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Rob Dreeslein joining you for another segment of Outdoor News Radio. I hope you enjoy the broadcast. If you do, please check us out online at outdoornews.com, where you can subscribe to print or digital versions of Outdoor News content. You can also do that by giving us a good old-fashioned phone call at 800-535-5191. Hey, roughly quarterly here, I like to check in with the folks at Ducks Unlimited and find out what's cooking. I'm an old waterfowler myself. I think waterfowl hunting is kind of, and waterfowlers are kind of the keystone folks in the great outdoors experiment here in the United States. And Ducks Unlimited has been at the heart of that for many generations. So I've got two great guests joining us here this morning to talk about some announcements that Ducks Unlimited has had, as well as maybe give us some updates on what all this rain, at least in Minnesota, means for ducks, wondering if that has extended across the duck factory. We'll talk about that a little bit too. So joining me now is Dr. Karen Waldrop. She's the Chief Conservation Officer for DU based out of Memphis, as well as Mike Brazier, Senior Waterfowl Scientist, also with DU in Memphis. They join us now. Good morning, you guys. Thanks so much for spending a segment with me.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, good morning, Rob. Great to be here.
Let's talk first a little bit about maybe the history of Ducks Unlimited, just a bit. Who is Ducks Unlimited? Dr. Waldrop, would you like to take the first shot at that? How long has DU been around, and what's the organization all about?
Sure. We've been around since 1937, and the reason that Ducks Unlimited really got started was plummeting waterfowl populations at that time, as far as during the Dust Bowl, and losing waterfowl habitat all through the prairies. And when a group of waterfowl enthusiasts saw that their waterfowl populations were plummeting and habitat was declining as well, it was a critical time and a critical moment. They knew they had to do something, and Ducks Unlimited was formed. And we are a science-based organization that focuses on conserving and restoring and managing wetlands and other habitats associated with wetlands and grasslands. And we specifically started in the Prairie Pothole region. That's where all of our work was focused until the mid-80s, because that's the duck factory. That's where waterfowl go to breed and to raise young and to then fly south again. So it all starts in the prairies. And if we don't have the prairies intact and we don't have that habitat, we're not going to have waterfowl throughout the rest of the year and throughout the country. And so that's really how we were started and why we were started. We have been working in the United States since the mid-80s. Prior to that, we were only in the prairies of Canada. But as we've grown and as we've learned more about waterfowl and the needs throughout all the life cycle of waterfowl, from migrating and wintering and breeding, we've learned we need to work in lots of other landscapes. The great thing about the work that we do as far as, you know, conserving and managing wetlands and restoring and protecting habitat, it does a lot of things for people too. So it's waterfowl benefits and other wildlife, but people benefit as well, whether it's through clean water or flood attenuation or coastal resiliency with some of the work that we're doing and working with our partners. It benefits a lot of people and also other wildlife beyond waterfowl.
I want to jump over to Mike Brazier a little bit, again, senior waterfowl scientist for Ducks Unlimited. Tell us a little bit what that means, science-based organization. I think there's probably a lot of organizations out there that claim to be science-based, but I don't know too many that have as many waterfowl biologists, people with scientific background on the payroll like Ducks Unlimited does.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. I have a really cool job and position that I'm in as a waterfowl scientist. And, you know, I think about science is a process. It's a process by which we gain information. But really what that means to Ducks Unlimited is we are a decision-centric organization. What we do every day, every month, every year is make decisions on where we work, the type of work we do, how much work we do, all in the interest of helping to achieve our mission, supporting waterfowl populations for everyone to enjoy. And those decisions require information to ensure that we're making the right decisions and to make sure that we are doing things the right way. And so that's what it amounts to. We, as science staff, work with our scientific partners in universities, federal and state agencies, to employ that scientific process of gaining reliable knowledge, learning from that, you know, conducting the studies, whether it be tracking ducks, measuring the benefits of different types of wetlands to waterfowl and all sorts of other outcomes that they deliver, and then using that information to ensure that when we're delivering habitat, making those decisions, we're doing it in the right way, and doing the right kind of conservation. And so it's pretty cool to serve the role that I do, because I get to dabble, to use that word, in the science a little bit.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. But I also get to communicate about the great science that we do and how we use it to inform those decisions.
I know whenever I see a waterfowl production area dedicated, I'm amazed at the collaboration, all the organizations involved, a lot of other science-based organizations, and a lot of thought goes into to getting it right when we put some new public lands out there. This is Outdoor News Radio. Rob Gerisline checking in with you. We're talking with our friends at Ducks Unlimited about some things going on with that organization. Back to Dr. Karen Waldrop. Karen, press release came out from DU this past week. Quite a milestone. I don't know how many acres of habitat DU has protected or preserved over the years, but just in fiscal year 2024, 1 million acres of conservation delivered by DU across North America. Can you quantify what that means a little bit? What kind of acres are we talking about there?
It is, first of all, very exciting. And you know, you mentioned partners and everything before, and I think it's fair to say that while Ducks Unlimited had 1 million acres of conservation in 1 year, that took a lot of partners. I always say conservation is a team sport. It's never done by one person or one group, whether we're talking about funders and partners in that way or partners in other ways in delivering. So I just give a shout out to all of our public and private funders, as well as our partners on these programs and projects that help make it happen. But it is very exciting. So we had, when we talk about 1 million acres of conservation, of course, that includes permanent protection of land up in the prairies, for example, with conservation easements, so that we can ensure that there is permanent protection, or restoration projects. But it also might be some of our programs in the ag space, where we're working with farmers and ranchers. Because if you look at where farming and ranching occurs in the United States, and you look at areas that are important for waterfowl, there is a direct overlap of those two things. So one of our biggest partners are farmers and ranchers throughout North America. A lot of those 1 million acres are a lot of those maybe short-term annual efforts that we're working with these landowners, signing them up with you know, different programs through the Farm Bill, NRCS, things like that. So there's a whole variety of different things. Sure. And some of the traditional things, like we work on a lot of refuges with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or state agencies on wildlife management areas. And we go in and we'll restore wetland and, you know, working with our engineers. We have a great engineering team that works with a lot of partners in delivering some of this work as well. So it's a big variety of different types of projects.
It all adds up acre by acre, that's for sure. DU just had its national convention, its 87th annual national convention out in San Diego, California. And during the convention, we learned that the largest ever gift to Ducks Unlimited was announced. $100 million basically dedicated to prairie pothole work. There might be people thinking out there, well, the ducks are just going to live happily ever after, given that chunk of money heading toward the prairie pothole region. Can you tell us, you know, some basic details about that, Karen, and what it's going to mean on the ground?
This was an incredible, incredible gift and means a lot to the prairies. But this was something that was years in the making. It came from Cox Enterprises, and it was actually announced by Alex Taylor, who's the CEO of Cox Enterprises. And Jim Kennedy, I guess he's the chairman emeritus now of Cox Enterprises, but he's also the chairman of the Cox Foundation. And he has been a big supporter of Ducks Unlimited for a long time, years. And he's been a volunteer for, I want to say, half a century. So this is something he has been passionate about. He has been Ducks Unlimited's biggest donor ever and one of our greatest supporters of the prairies, and his dedication and passion for the prairies comes through in that gift. And we are going to work very hard to leverage that gift as much as possible with other funding, public funding sources, and everything else, so we can maximize the amount of conservation that's done on the ground with that amazing gift. And I'll just go ahead and add that any gift to Ducks Unlimited, private gift, we try to leverage 3-4 times at least with public funding sources, so we can maximize the gift of our donors.
I know here in Minnesota, where we've got our legacy account, and I see all the matching dollars that come along whenever that's involved in a project, and it's incredible mm-hmm. how that compounds. And I mean, I got to think we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in work that's going to result from this donation. Exactly. It's just incredible. So congratulations to DU, and I'm glad to see where the money is going. I mean, it's going right in the heart of the duck factory. That's where we want to see these results. We're about out of time. Before we go, though, I want to bounce back to Mike. Can you give us a quick report? We are waterlogged here in Minnesota, you guys. I tell you what, we went from a couple years of drought to, you know, major rain here. What's going on farther west in the Dakotas and up into Prairie Canada, Mike, with water this spring?
Yeah, Rob, I was just looking at a map, and your state is about 200% of normal precipitation over the past 2 months. If we were to go back 2 months and record this episode, we'd be talking about something different. We were still deeply entrenched in drought across basically the entire U.S. Canadian prairies, but then the faucet turned on across a good chunk of that landscape, and as you've just talked about, y'all are seeing it in Minnesota. The prairies of the Dakotas, eastern Montana and Canada have not gotten as much rain as you guys have, the eastern Dakotas have, but the farther west you go, it gets a little bit drier, but still, it has been some above average rainfall, it has been some beneficial rainfall, and it has improved conditions dramatically across portions of that landscape. I was in Alberta a few weeks ago and saw a lot of shallow wetlands, newly inundated wetlands that were teeming with invertebrates. The distribution of that recent rain is somewhat spotty, as it typically is across that broad landscape. So it's not uniformly wet, and we still have a long way to go to recover from this 4 or 5 year drought across mostly especially the Canadian prairies. It's also, we think it probably arrived a little too late to benefit some of the early nesting species. Mm-hmm. It'll be fantastic for late nesting species and brood rearing. So we're in a much better shape now than we were 2 months ago, but we still have a ways to go before we fully recover from this multi-year drought across a good chunk of the prairies.
Sounds like a good start. We need to keep it going, especially west of here. Michael, you said the DU's got a podcast of its own that if folks want more information on some of these topics, tell folks where they can find that.
We do, Rob. That's part of the communication I was talking about. You can find it. It's the Ducks Unlimited podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. We release one or two episodes a week, and we've got a huge inventory of episodes for you to listen to, covering everything from habitat conditions, retriever training, and then a lot of science in there as well, art and collectibles. Anything that intersects ducks and duck hunting and the waterfowl world, you can find on the Ducks Unlimited podcast.
Perfect. With that, I'd like to thank you both, Dr. Karen Waldrop and Mike Brazier from Ducks Unlimited. Thanks for all you do for conservation and for waterfowl. Have a great week ahead, and I hope you have good fall hunting seasons, too.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Nice meeting you both. With that, let's get in a break. More of the broadcast after these messages.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
St. Croix's annual Customer Appreciation Day is Saturday, June 22nd, from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Join us as we celebrate the anglers who have helped make St. Croix the best rods on earth. Experience how rods are crafted. See the Seven Reels tent. Learn to cast and get a free brat lunch, sponsored by Johnsonville. Attend seminars and gear up with one-day-only deals on rods, reels, and apparel. Learn more in person and online at stcroixrods.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads. Classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, the RangeWI.com.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some chances for showers and thunderstorms across the area for your Father's Day. We'll see high temperatures warming to the middle and upper 80s. South winds on the breezy side. In the overnight, more showers and thunderstorms. Our lows will drop to the lower 60s. It's 60 at our studios.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. It's migration and nesting season for many birds who come back to Wisconsin each year, and I'm sure you've seen some of them. We had a nest of robins actually fledge already last week here at our place, and you've seen other birds, hummingbirds, swallows, orioles maybe. One member of the swallow family, the purple martin, is coming back. Many of them are back here in Wisconsin already. And joining us now to talk about purple martins and an event that's coming up very soon this month is Bob Ring. He's a board member of the Wisconsin Purple Martin Association. That group's website is wisconsinpurplemartins.org. Bob, thanks for joining us and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dan.
Before we get to Martin Fest, let's talk a little bit about the birds themselves. They come back here every spring. Where do they spend the winter?
After they're through nesting in late summer, they migrate all the way down to South America. They travel thousands of miles and overwinter in Brazil, where it's warm, where they have adequate insect supplies, because purple martins are aerial insectivores. So they do not come to feeders. So they need that constant supply of insects. When it's warm enough in the spring and summer months, they will migrate back to North America. And in Wisconsin, usually late March, early April is about the time where we start seeing small insects emerging to sustain the purple martins. This year was warmer. Our first martin arrived on March 26th, and they've been arriving in small numbers ever since then. In fact, the second year birds are arriving in the state now. So if you don't have martins, you still have a good chance to attract some. A lot of the birds are now nest building, laying eggs. A number of nests have begun hatching within the last week or so. It takes about a month for the hatchlings to mature to fledging, and throughout that entire time, they need that adequate insect supply.
You mentioned they are aerial insectivores, I think is the term you used. So for folks who are thinking, okay, what does that mean? They eat on the wing. They fly around, catch bugs, right?
That is correct. That is their exclusive diet.
Has the worldwide decline in insects had an impact on martins, or don't we know?
Well, there is a lot of the elements that are unknown, but what I can say for sure is that purple martins have been experiencing an average annual decline of about 4% since the mid-1960s. And that decline has especially become severe enough to the point that purple martins are now on the state's list of special concern species. They definitely need our help. There is some good news to that, being that we can help them by providing adequate housing to assist them. They need good, safe places to successfully nest. So there are a number of things that we humans can do to help them.
These birds eat in the air. They nest in colonies. So is there a concern for habitat like there would be, for example, for grassland nesting birds like certain sparrows and bobolinks, or woodland birds like grouse and woodcock and woodpeckers? Martins don't have that kind of habitat concern or need, do they?
No, they don't. That's actually the good thing. The problem is they're dependent on man. Purple martins used to nest in natural hollowed out cavities that woodpeckers had previously made, but over the years they've made the transition over to man-made housing. So in recent decades, seeing an active purple martin nest in a natural cavity is a rarity. But as long as people are willing to put up the housing, manage the housing, keep the birds safe from non-native species like house sparrows and starlings, people can have a major impact on helping purple martins, and that is a good thing.
And you have an event coming up. I mentioned it at the beginning of our conversation. It's an annual event. You call it Martin Fest. Tell us about that event and what people can learn at that event.
Well, the nice thing about Martin Fest is that anybody that's either interested in martins, or if you've been a longtime purple martin landlord, you can definitely learn a lot just from conversation, helping each other out. If you know nothing about purple martins, that's fine. You can learn all about them. We'll be happy to teach you everything we know and answer your questions. We have a series of events at Martin Fest. Our club president, Les Rhines, is giving a talk on how to attract purple martins and how to start a colony. We also have other events such as supplemental feeding of purple martins. So that shows a person what to do in the event of inclement weather where purple martins aren't able to go out and feed. There will be a demonstration on that. And myself and another board member, Dick Nicolai, we have bird banding licenses, So we will be banding adult and young purple martins at the colony site during Martin Fest.
And I would imagine people who are really new to martins but want to create housing for them will have some options. You'll have models there for people to look at. And I don't know, will you be selling martin houses too?
Yes. We actually have a silent auction where we receive donations of purple martin housing. We have gourds that are donated. We have actual purple martin houses. So there will be a number of things available if you're interested in placing bids. The colony itself, where Martin Fest is held, will answer a lot of questions, because at this particular colony there are about 60 to 70 nesting pairs right now, and they're nesting in wooden houses, natural gourds, plastic gourds. Anybody can come and see for themselves what an active colony is like, how to place the martin housing. Any questions you have at all, you'll be able to have answered at Martin Fest.
Okay, and now let's tell folks when and where this is happening. It's in St. Cloud, Wisconsin, and that's in Fond du Lac County. And this is going to happen on June 29th, so that's coming up. This will air on the weekend, so it's coming up in 2 weeks. It'll be on a Saturday, and the time, I believe it starts at 10 a.m., right?
Correct.
And it runs until 4.
Right, or as long as people are interested. Our silent auction closes at 3 o'clock, and then from there we distribute the items that are won to the bidders. Yeah, right around 4 o'clock or so is when the event draws to a close.
Okay. And the address is N9434 County Road G in St. Cloud. Type that into your GPS or your phone and it should take you right there.
Yes, and we also will be providing a lunch around noon, and we'll have drinks available. So we just ask people to bring lawn chairs and bring your interest along for Purple Martins.
And do you want to know in advance if people are coming?
Nope. Feel free to drop in at any time during the day.
Well, Bob, I hope you have a great event and good weather for it and a good turnout.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. We appreciate it, and we're all looking forward to seeing everybody.
June 29th is the date, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The website is wisconsinpurplemartins.org. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Castle Rock and Peyton Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-PetonWell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Peyton Well Lakes Association.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
St. Croix's annual Customer Appreciation Day is Saturday, June 22nd, from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Join us as we celebrate the anglers who have helped make St. Croix the best rods on earth. Experience how rods are crafted. See the Seven Reels tent. Learn to cast and get a free brat lunch, sponsored by Johnsonville. Attend seminars and gear up with one-day-only deals on rods, reels, and apparel. Learn more in person and online at stcroixrods.com.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Attention all bidders. Don't miss out on the Kennan Ehrenholz online auction brought to you by Heckman Auction and Estate Sales. Bid down over 500 lots featuring top items like a Polaris ATV, an Ehren snowblower, and a 2012 Ford one-ton diesel with 8-foot Boss V-plow. Online bidding closes this Sunday, June 16th at 7 p.m. and following. Special sneak preview this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 10465 Highway 8, Kennan, Wisconsin. Visit Heckman Auction to view and bid on everything now. And be sure to download their free mobile app. Heckman Auctions, heck yeah!
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day,